Come to the show with us, Jay. Come to the show. Forever and ever and ever.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes and I'm here again. And of course I'm joined by my little workhorse, Organis, or Oggy as I like to call him. There's a saying here in Russia that the hardest working horse gets whipped the most, and that kind of applies to Oggy, my little pony kind of thing. Now, of course, what's the big news in the last week? The inauguration. The inauguration of the Big Don has happened January 20th. Everyone was waiting for it. We were waiting here. And kind of, you know, bit of mixed emotions, mixed bag here this week on the Moscow Mules looking back. But of course, the old Sleepy Joe, the self-propelled granddad, he was there too, amongst a kind of a real stew pot of very unusual individuals. We're going to have to talk about that in a second. But let's have a look at Sleepy Joe. Before we talk about Big Don, the tech billionaires, and the very interesting goings on, let's have a little sneak peek, Uggy, at Sleepy Joe, getting all religious when he saw the Don Juggernaut coming straight for him at the inauguration. Run the video, Oggy.
Witness the peaceful transfer of power at the heart of our democracy.
He's so full of shit. You know, he's not religious at all. He's a complete fraud. He was a member of the Greek, the Arab, the Spanish, the Irish, the Black, the Jewish community. What a jerk. And getting to the other people in the room, Muggy, there was quite a gathering, you know, really, really was interesting. And of course, one of the stars of the show was Big Elon, you know, who really couldn't contain his, let's say, spectrum of joy. We're just going to say the spectrum, on the spectrum, right? Like a lot of us, myself and Augie included. But this is interesting because it's not the first time that senior Americans have got all excited about a rocket man. There was a chap called Wernher von Braun, a nice chap, member of the Nazi party, who had been instrumental in the development of rocket technology, a lot of it that actually ended up killing civilians in London. But we can forget all that. And just like Mr. Netanyahu in Israel, who's killed about 40,000 civilians, when you do a little Sieg Heiling, you know, once you're on our good side, you're one of our boys, it's all okay. Forget about it. So let's have a little look at something that really set the internet and the news wire on fire. Run the video, Oggy.
And I just want to say thank you.
Here we go.
For making it happen. Thank you.
I mean, as soon as you saw that, you were going, oh, Jesus, no. I'd say anybody trying to manage the sort of PR around this whole thing was just, oh, what's he done? But, you know, I don't personally think, Woggy, do you, that he's a Nazi? I think it was kind of a bit of a kind of from the heart, whatever he was thinking. I don't think he's actually a Nazi. I don't believe that. I do a bit of it here on the show, and I'm not a Nazi. So, you know, that is he who is without a Sieg Heil cast the first kind waffen. Maybe I should not say that. Then again, Oggy, maybe he was just actually denoting the path of travel to Mars for American, astronauts who are going to get up there and stick flags everywhere. Elon got very excited about it, right? What do you think of that? You think it's going to happen?
I think we here at Moscow Mules should humbly remind you that there are other two Americans who are still stuck on the ISS, right, Che?
Oh, yeah. Two of them sat up there, I think, for 7 months now or something. Overdue getting back. They're probably shriveled up, turning into little bags of bones at this stage. I don't think being in space is very good for your health. But of course, that's something that Big Elon's going to have to fix. But don't mention the two Americans who are stuck on the International Space Station, waiting for a bus, basically, 7 months up there in a little box together. Now, I hope there's no personal odor problems. But the other thing that's very important is, I think Russia could have got them back, right? I think about Russia was the only route. But when you're supplying weapons to a dictatorship in Ukraine and trying to kill Russians, it doesn't really do well to stick your thumb out and ask for a lift off them. So sticking with the inauguration, coming back down to earth, something interesting happened, caught our eye here, and of course caught the eye of the media globally, but they didn't report it, but we can here, because we get to say whatever we like here in Moscow. A certain chap called Mark Zuckerberg, remember Mr. Zuckerberg, who basically worked with the FBI to suppress the story about a certain gentleman's son's laptop being full of evidence of crimes, drug use, you know, fraud, etc., etc. You know who I'm talking about. Mr. Zuck worked with the FBI, who came whispering in his ear, "It's a fake," when he knew it wasn't a fake. He arrived at the inauguration after suddenly deciding that he's a big fan of free speech, growing his hair long, getting a little perm done. And he sat beside the girlfriend of another billionaire, Jeff Bezos of the Amazon fame. Now, Mr. Zuckerberg was not faithfully staring at the new president, you know, looking across the blue hills of Alabama. He was looking at two other kinds of hills, two hills that were hanging off the chest of Mr. Bezos's fiancée. Run the video, Huggy. Oh, I mean, how dare you? I mean, how dare a man look at a woman's breasts? It's completely disgusting. In this day and age of sort of sexual freedom, and a boy can be a girl can be a boy, a fella looking at a pair of tits is a big deal. But it is a big deal when everybody prior to that thought that you were some kind of sperm in a jacket, some sort of embryonic lizard boy from another planet. Correct, Augie?
We almost believed he's a real human, but come on, you can't fool us here at Moscow Mules.
Not just yet. It's something else that's incredibly interesting about the gathering. You know, of course, there was the usual Bible, you know, pledge to uphold the United States, blah, blah, blah. Interestingly, the big Don didn't put his hand on the Bible. A lot of people noticed that. Didn't do it. Now, the people there, you would imagine it was Elon Musk, Augie, getting actually inaugurated as president. Because when you looked at the crowd, there were some very, very important and powerful people who basically own the internet. Right, Augie? They own the internet, but not just the internet. They own multi-billion, probably a $1 trillion business in media, in tech. Do you really think, Augie, that these people are going to, you know, do what's best for the ordinary worker over there in the US of A?
Or do you really think, my dear viewer, that Trump will have the balls to deny them if they want anything?
Mm-hmm. Who was there?
It was Sam Altman from the OpenAI, you know, the devil of our days, Jeff Bezos, the devil of old days, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, and even Google CEO Sundar Pichai, and many others. Mm-hmm. I think their total worth is enough to buy the entire planet five times over.
So, Panama and Greenland? Loose change. Now, speaking of tech billionaires and trillionaires, you know, and autistic meetups, it's interesting that Donald Trump, as the new president, one of the first things he said was there's going to be a huge investment into artificial intelligence. The United States is going to become the center of the world when it comes to artificial intelligence. $500 billion are going to be pumped into the industry. You know, and that's interesting, Augie, because one of the dudes that was there, Sam, he's in charge of a company that is hemorrhaging cash like, you know, Colombian marching powder up the nose of the narco Fuhrer. So what's behind that, do you think?
Well, they're according to the latest articles, they're burning through cash like there's no tomorrow. And last year, OpenAI have posted around $5 billion loss.
So someone's after getting in the ear of Big Don and letting them know that the sector needs to be flushed with cash. I wonder who it could be. Maybe some guy over here. I know. Idea. Yes, as the mainstream media melts down because the big Don's in town, another group of you know, pillar citizens in the United States are also unhappy that they're getting picked on by the Don. This is the transgender community, the people who have 11, 12, 13 genders, boy today, girl tomorrow, in the middle, Wednesday. They took to the streets, of course, in the good old USA, where the right to protest is enshrined in the Constitution, essentially, and it all got a bit sort of circus-like. Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Oh, yeah. You're protesting by showing everybody just why you just got hammered, you know? It's just... Woo! Here we go. Bring out the steals. Oh. And as if that wasn't enough, someone else got a bit animated and decided to bring out the guillotine. Yes, the guillotine, apparatus used in the French Revolution. Most Americans probably have no idea what it is, to decapitate aristocrats, basically. So it's a lot of people for the chop, I'd say, in the room during the inauguration. On the video, Augie.
I mean, it's pretty well made.
Yeah, it looks good. Cigar, like a cigar, a giant cigar clipper. Oh, there's the flag. There's the flag of the Fourth Reich in the background. There it is. Slava Ukraini. What is this dude? Fully masked. Illegal in Switzerland these days. Take the mask off, pal. Oh, Palestinian flag. LGBTQ flag.
It's a full house.
It's a full house, Augie. It's a full house, bro. And the journey to the bottom of the bucket when it comes to cringe protests against the Big Don probably ends here, Augie. A dude doing a little TikTok about what he's thinking mentally when he's talking to somebody who's into the MAGA, Make America Great Again. What a terrible idea. Make America Great Again. What about Make Europe Great Again? Mega. Mm-hmm. Make Ireland Great Again? Mega. Make Augie great again, MAGA. Anyway, back to MAGA. This dude decided to show the world his physical prowess. In Ireland, we've got a little saying that he couldn't beat his way out of a wet paper bag. And this dude is basically demonstrating exactly that. Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Yeah. I'm so tough, I'm so cool. Oh, this is so controversial. I just punched a piece of cardboard. Ooh, oh, you're turning me on. So let's leave the protesters out on the street where they belong. No one gives a shit. No one listens to them anyway. And have a look at what the Big Don has done. They hit the ground running, signing a lot of executive orders with that really dramatic autograph of his, let's say, signature. 51 people let go from their security clearance. Some interesting stuff. The January 6 people were let out of jail, political prisoners. But there was also a couple of very concerning things. Kind of like when you bring your grandpa to the doctor and tell him, he's forgetting things. He's what's wrong with Grandpa? Well, he said the other day that 60 million people died in Russia in the Second World War. It was only about 27. Some other stuff got caught our mind, our eye as well, Augie, right?
Yeah, actually, Trump said that Soviet Union helped America win the Second World War. But the last time we checked here at Moscow Mules, it was the Soviet troops that entered Berlin, and Hitler killed himself not because Ronald Reagan came there.
Wait a minute. Lend-lease alert. Lend-lease. We won the war. Lend-lease. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Sorry, guys. Lend-lease. Only about 10% at a maximum, some Russian scholars say about 7% of the aid that came to the Soviet Union came from the United States. Guess what, America? You didn't even join the war for 2 years. You sat it out and watched Hitler burn in Europe. Guess what? Another inconvenient reality. The Red Army destroyed 80% of the Wehrmacht's fighting power. Doesn't seem to fit with the narrative that the Russians helped us. Not true, Don. Not true. A bit of a concern. Yeah, but he got back on track pretty quickly, mentioning that there was going to be huge tariffs on the BRICS countries for the crime of trying to operate a sort of merit-based economy, not based on war and hegemony. Now the BRICS countries are going to suffer if they turn away from the dollar. And I'm sure they're all absolutely terrified in Madrid, a stalwart partner, right, Huggy, in the BRICS alliance. Run the video.
Thank you, sir.
What can we expect of the countries in NATO that spend the least amount of money, like Spain, France, below the 5%?
Spain is very low. And yet, are they a BRICS nation?
What?
They're a BRICS nation, Spain. Okay. You know what a BRICS nation is? You'll figure it out. But, and if the BRICS nations want to do that, that's okay, but we're going to put at least a 100% tariff on the business they do with the United States. You know what the BRICS is, right? You guys know.
But I like how Trump is, like, insist on this. Do you know what BRICS countries are? Spain is in BRICS. Do you know what? Like, he's lecturing those people on the shit he doesn't know.
Yeah, and everybody's just absolutely scared to say to him, excuse me, Mr. President, Spain is not in BRICS. What do you mean? I mean, imagine this is the dude that could technically launch a nuclear weapon at the wrong country. So what if he gets pissed off or, you know, really has a bad afternoon, he decides, I'm going to teach one of those BRICS countries a lesson. Spain is getting it in the face. Poor old Spain. You know, we love Spain here. Me gusta Español. So let's leave Washington, Jeff Bezos' girlfriend and her new friend, Mr. Zuckerberg, and head to Europe. Of course, everything's going swimmingly well in the EU, right, Augie? Oh, I don't think so. They're literally themselves because the big Don is now in charge. He's a man liable to get the members of BRICS wrong. He could possibly nuke Spain. So it's all going to go down the pipe for the poor old Europeans. But guess what? They're starting to cozy up to the big Don. Surprise, surprise, all those people who thought it was terrible what happened in Ukraine. The imperialist Russians, you know, eating pickled babies there, you know, oh, it's terrible. But when it comes to the big Don wanting a chunk of Danish territory, which is essentially Greenland, everything seems to be okay. And our friend Organis here has found a little nugget to compare the gross hypocrisy of the crawling EU elite. Run the video, Augie.
What Russland macht is illegal Territorium zu annektieren und sich in sein Staatsgebiet aller Wahrscheinlichkeit nach einzuverleiben. Das ist keine Basis für jegliche Verhandlungen.
A few moments later.
Das, was ich jetzt meine, ist, wenn Grönland freiwillig entscheiden sollte im Rahmen eines Referendums, dass es ein Bundesstaat der Vereinigten Staaten werden will, dann ist das völkerrechtlich völlig in Ordnung.
Oh, so you want it done? Oh yeah, you can have it. No, you can have it. No, no, Vladimir. Get back up there, Vlad. Don, yeah, take it all. But you know what? In the EU, there are a couple of people who still have to wiggle to get their balls into their trousers. Some people actually care about their countries, God forbid. Some people that actually love their own people more than they hate Russia. Imagine, such a terrible idea. And one of them is a Danish politician, right, Augie?
Correct. Anders Vistisen, the only person with the balls in Europe.
So good old Anders took to the podium in the EU Parliament, if it is a parliament, echo chamber, and he had a little message for the big Don, right, Augie? Run the video.
Dear President Trump.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Very carefully.
Yeah.
Greenland have been part of the Danish kingdom for 800 years. Uh-huh. It's an integrated part of our country. It is not for sale. Let me put it in words you might understand, Mr. Trump.
Oh, Gott in Himmel. That's not good. And you know, when a dude who wears a jacket like that over a jumper talks to you, you sit up and listen. Very teachery. And guess who left the EU, actually? You know, I'm not a big fan of the EU. I think we need to return to an economic model, but that's another day's work. Guess who left? Remember? The old UK by a very, very slim margin. I think it was like 51%, very small. Imagine that election result came in an Eastern European country like Romania or Georgia. I have a feeling that they might find some sort of objection. But the good old Brits, they left. They packed their bags and headed back to Blighty. And now the country has descended into some kind of horrendous clown show. Would you agree, Augie?
Absolutely correct. There's numerous problems, starting with things being so in Britain that even Thames Water, the UK's largest water company, is in a deep financial hole with 18 billion in debt.
Oh, wow.
The NHS, the National Health Service, is in too. They have a budget shortfall of 12 billion pounds. Prisons, despite, you know, releasing all those rapists and murderers,
all the good guys
in England and Wales are 99% full. And as the local authorities warn, the entire criminal justice system stands on the precipice of failure.
Oh, well, that's an easy solution. Just find a few people for putting out memes and just empty the jails. But, you know, the Starmer Fuhrer, my old pal, you know, when nothing like a leader, you know, come at the hour, come at the man. And the little micro Fuhrer, Herr Starmer Fuhrer, he loves to trot around bleating about social justice and what have you. And he also had a lot of opinions about the big Don, keeping this string running through the show. And nothing like a man of his word, you know, somebody who sticks to their guns, like Anders over there in the EU with balls the size of apricots. Little Keir Starmerfuhrer doesn't seem to have the same sort of commitment. He likes to freeze pensioners, he likes to put people in jail for having an opinion, but he doesn't like sticking to his guns. Run the video, Augie.
Of course, I wouldn't want Donald Trump round for dinner,
no.
But don't underestimate the danger to the world if Trump is re-elected this time around.
Yeah.
I'm anti-Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to send my warmest congratulations to President Trump.
What a snake. This is beautiful.
As the 47th president of the United States.
I just know you guys in internet world are gonna watch that more than once. You got to watch that one more than once. It deserves it. It's just beautiful. And as Augie says, the problems in the UK are multiple, you know, and they're multiplying. Some horrible events have occurred recently, the Stockport attack, you know, and something else horrible, you know, with the cuts to pensioners. And where's the Starmerfuhrer when this is all happening? Well, you can guess. He's off in Ukraine, you know, with the Narcofuhrer, hugging and cuddling for the cameras there, signing a 100-year deal. Yeah, you got it right. A 100-year deal to give $3 billion a year to the Narcofuhrer. I mean, this is complete delusion. But guess what? When he turns up back in the UK, he gets a rapturous welcome. Right, Augie? The people are out on the streets waving flags, shouting happily. Yeah, they're waving flags, but they're Palestinian flags, and they're shouting at him to turn him upside down and hang him off the bridge like Mussolini. Run the video, Augie. This is just unreal. Yeah, keep your hands in your pockets, yeah? Hands in the pockets. Yeah, plod through. Yo, yeah. This is what they call popularity, right? And guess what? It turns out that good old Keir is the most unpopular prime minister, newly elected, in history in the United Kingdom. The most unpopular prime minister in history. Of course, that's all by complete accident, right, Keir? And what is one thing to sort of take a bird's eye view from above, like us here, it's also important to get the views of the people on the ground, right, Augie? The ordinary people, the taxpayer, the people who are living the nightmare that the UK is rapidly turning into. There's also some concern that the UK is going to turn into an economic basket case pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So let's have a listen to an English Rose, a young English girl, giving us the feedback from the streets about what's actually going on in the old United Kingdom, old chap. Run the video, Augie, would you?
We the young have never truly known Britain. We inherit not a culture but survived, not a country but the ruins of one. We walk through the streets where the past is erased, where our history is vilified, where the idea of being British is treated like something to be ashamed of. Uh-huh. Britain is unrecognisable. Laws now punish hard-working people while rewarding those who exploit the system. Mass immigration has led to millions of people flooding into this country, draining our schools, hospitals and housing, and fragmenting the communities that once defined us. The government's priorities are clear. Everyone but the British people come first. We've been robbed of the connection to the Britain our grandparents knew. A nation with pride, tradition and belonging. If we don't fight to reclaim it, we'll never know what was lost, and worse, we will never get it back.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Can you argue with her? If you can, let's talk about it. But there's one thing about sovereignty and huge changes to demographics. You only get to give them away once. And this being the Moscow Mules, what would it be without a visit to Kiev? Yes, the Center for European Democracy, Freedom and Wellbeing, the non-corrupt bastion of, you know, liberty and gayness and equality and freedom. And there's official news that there is absolutely no corruption in Ukraine because there's nobody left to rob. But guess what? Even in the United States, in the other bastion of freedom, liberty and liberal values, Hollywood, they seem to be, Augie, getting the message of the Narcofuhrer. Yeah, you wouldn't imagine it. But an actor called Rob Snyder, you might remember him, a very funny guy, he made a little speech and he told us a little story about the said 4'2" Green Goblin. And I thought it was an absolute cracker, and we're going to share it with you. Run the video, Augie.
Zelensky is obviously a cokehead. All the signs are there.
Yeah.
You give him $1 billion, the next week he's broke. He's always wearing the same dirty t-shirt that Sean Penn gave him.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
He's always saying delusional Like, I'm going to defeat Russia.
Oh, it's just a classic, isn't it? You know, I got to tell you, Hollywood, I hate to say I told you so. And as if to sort of confirm Rob Schneider's opinion on the Narco-Fuhrer, little Vlad decided to give an interview, and he suggested that rather than take over Greenland, you know, don't take Greenland. Why don't you take some Russian territory? Now, the fact that if the Big Don tried to take Russian territory, America would turn into a desert pretty quickly. Oreshnik. It didn't stop the Narco-Fuhrer from having these delusional ideas. He really is a babbling, rambling halfwit, but the people in the EU are still backing their horse right up until the last moment. Kabul, anybody? Run the video, Огі.
Щодо розширення Америки, чесно кажучи, це були загальні слова у президента Трампа. Якщо б там були дуже конкретні якісь речі, я б вам би відповів на конкретно. Тому що якщо у нього ідея розширитись за рахунок Російської Федерації, наприклад, то чому ні?
He actually said that, right? Unreal. Well, the train has pulled into the station, and Augie and I are about to disembark and head to the nearest watering hole and have a little beer and maybe a little bit of Shastlik. We like that. But guess what? If there's going to be real change out west, you know, we've got a new boss out there, the Big Don. He's got some good ideas. You've got to know the facts, Don. You've got to know the history, and you've got to know the numbers. And you've got to know that the Russians aren't going to drop to their knees and plead for a deal with you, particularly if you get the history completely about face. But we're going to be here hoping for peace, watching intently, and telling you guys what's actually going on every step of the way. We'll see you next week.
Cut.